Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
My name is Brandon Hoy, co-owner of Roberta's, a super duper awesome place. Roberta's is a very, 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 very proud sponsor of the Heritage Radio Network. We're also super awesome. Thank you, Heritage.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Hello, Mr. and Mrs. America, from border to border, coast to coast, and all the ships at sea. Streaming live from the County of Kings, Brooklyn, New York City, on the Heritage Radio Network. Are you ready for the fastest half hour on the internet today? It's the Mike and Judy Show, spanning the globe for high-minded hijinks and lowbrow kicks to bring you the best in sex, drugs, rock and roll, and nuclear fission. They're too bad for radio and too good-looking for television. And now, here they are, to pluck the low-hanging fruit of the literati, your hosts, Mike Edison and Judy McGuire.
Happy June, Mike.
Oh, my God. It's summertime here in Bushwick. Summer in Bushwick.
Yeah, very fragrant.
Very fragrant. I'm enjoying some nice pink wine. You know, it is inarguable that I popularized pink wine in the United States. I made it safe for heterosexual men to drink pink wine in America. It's true. It's inarguable. When I lived in Spain for years, and we drank pink wine all summer long, usually from Navarra, from the north. And I came back to New York wanting to drink cold pink wine in the summer. It's too hot to drink red wine. I'm not much of a white wine guy.
And, isn't that also known as rosé?
Well, you know, it's rosado in Italy and rosado in Spain and rosé in France. But I know everybody thinks of, like, champagne, and it's not this bad name until I started ordering it and other people saw it, other men, other straight men saw it and became comfortable enough to order it. Now you see, now it is acceptable for a heterosexual man not only to wear shorts and flip-flops while going into the store, but to order a rosé from Provence.
We're not all thanking you for the shorts and the flip-flops.
No, I can't take... Have you ever seen me in flip-flops? Not bloody fucking likely.
Thank you, no.
I think the flip-flop is a worse crime than the male clog.
The mandel is the worst.
Oh, man.
At least the... Ooh, our engineer Joe is enjoying a delicious rosé. And he's a manly man.
He is. Joe, are you famous yet after last week's show? Or when was it? When did we do our Get Famous show? Two weeks ago?
I'm working on it. I got more... That book is like a Bible, so I got to keep reading.
And once again, the book is Get More Fans.
By Jesse Cannon.
By Jesse. So,
speaking of books.
Speaking of getting more fans in DIY culture.
We have with us Ted Heller.
The king of the digital DIY culture.
He's the author of Slab Rap, which I read when it came out. And I was talking to my friend Julie Mason, who has a show on Sirius about this. We spent hours talking about how funny that book was.
All right.
Anyway, you also.
I barely remember it.
And Julie is just one degree away from the president of the United States.
I was working as a fact checker at Allure when it came out, so it was very pertinent to my life. He also wrote Funny Men, Pocket Kings, and his latest, West of Babylon. Welcome, Ted.
Welcome.
West of Babylon, which is right in my wheelhouse, a book about failed rock musicians.
Well, they were successful once.
Yeah. Yeah, I was the next big thing once.
Well, they had mega sellers and stuff. And
yeah, but then they just got old.
But it's really great because, like, there's sex and drugs in the book, but the drugs are like Viagra, Flomax.
Flomax is very big.
I don't even know what Flomax is.
It keeps you from peeing all night long, but right. It doesn't. It's supposed to keep you from peeing all night long. I've done a lot of research about this.
Is Geritol still a thing? Can you still go buy Geritol?
I believe so.
It's like an iron supplement. Maybe we should get some of that.
My friend, who shall remain nameless, called me yesterday in a tizzy because he got his AARP card in the mail.
You get that one when you're 50? When do you get
you get it before 50 now.
Wow, they're really pushing it.
You get it when you're about 28.
Do you get a discount with that? As a Jew, I need to know. Can I get the movies cheaper?
Hampton Inns the world over.
and the early bird special. My AARP card will do something good for me.
It costs $16 a month. My friend, who I can't...
a month.
I know, it seems
like $600 a week.
You have to stay at five Hampton Inns a month in order to break even.
And Hampton Inns, as I've reviewed Hampton Inns, they're really nothing so special, except for that breakfast buffet looks fantastic.
I love the fact that you've reviewed the Hampton Inns. This is the life of a working writer. Right. You know,
it's a life of a whore. I also reviewed all those, what are they called, Comfort Inns, which are way down the comfort line from Hampton Inn.
They're right down there with Super 8 and Motel 6.
So where are you going to be staying on your book tour for West of Babylon?
I'm going to be staying in my living room on my couch.
So you wrote a really great piece for Salon. I pulled out some quotes even. I won't read them to you because I hate being quoted at myself too. But it really is kind of the Rodney Dangerfield thing, like you get no respect. Oh, you self-published an ebook. Books are so hard to sell unless you're Kat Marnell getting $500,000 or Lena Dunham.
$3 million.
Yeah, and you have a great track record.
Well, I you know, I think I've written 3 good books that were published. My sales track record is not that good, and that's what it all comes down to. That has caught up with me.
Oh. It's a very cynical world. I mean, this is what I deal with as well in my own fledgling career, such as it is books that are very well received but haven't really rung the bell at the New York Times bestsellers list. And, you know, and everybody's cynical from the agent on down to the publishers. They just want to know what you sold, and they want to really just tip the odds in the favor of the house. And, you know, my first book was published by FSG, Faber and Faber, at Ferris Strass and Jerome. Mm-hmm. And they told me when I signed, we don't sign books, Mike, we sign writers. And I was drinking the Kool-Aid. Boy, I bought right into that cult. And they were there, too. I think they were very earnest about that. Mm-hmm. Except, you know, at some point, you know, it stopped being FSG and it started being like the parent company, you know, and the culture had shifted towards, you know, support. Not that I didn't want them to be support artists, quote unquote, without remuneration. But the idea is you could break a writer on their second or third book. The same in the music business, too.
Oh, yeah. Bruce Springsteen That's never would have gotten to Darkness on the Edge of Town.
Exactly.
I've had a publisher, well, many publishers turned down West of Babylon, and one common theme was, this book isn't big enough to relaunch Ted Heller. And I'm thinking, you know, I
Ted
had
Heller's
my,
already an orbit, bitch.
That's the thing, like, I've had my ARP card for 40 years already. How many times do I have to be relaunched?
Apparently, like, every 15 minutes.
I know. Well, that's what the Flomax and Viagra are for.
So you did shop West of Babylon around?
Oh, yeah. My agent, I do have an agent. He hasn't gotten rid of me yet. The night is young. And people passed on it. And I think they passed on it, you know, because of the sales record. We were sending it out right when Pocket Kings came out. And Pocket Kings got great reviews. So we thought, well, this is just going to be a no-brainer. But you know, people turned it down. And
reviews, shremoos. Yeah, it's all about, like, how many copies sold.
Yes.
But, I mean, Slab Rat did great, too, didn't it?
It didn't sell too well.
I bought it. I bought it for friends.
That publisher won't even, and I'm really shooting myself, not just in the foot, but all over my body, but they will not even look at a manuscript of mine anymore.
Oh, fuck them. You know, anybody who says you shouldn't burn bridges has never actually burned a bridge, doesn't know how much fun it is to party and bask in the light of that burning bridge.
And also the people that were editors there now, probably unemployed.
No, they all got better jobs.
Oh. I like to think that they...
Yeah, I don't know. Are there better jobs? Publishing is such a beast. I'm kind of remiss as the first year in many that didn't go to the Book Expo. This week, you guys didn't make the rounds this year either, I don't think, right?
I was too busy writing about grape jelly trying to pay my rent.
Yeah, being a working writer, keeping the lights on.
There was a book expo?
Yeah, okay. Exactly. Well, last time I went, it was more like the La Brea fucking tar pits. I mean, it was a bunch of dinosaurs just waiting to be turned into fossil fuel. It's just really sad. It's a lumbering, slow-moving business.
So is this done at the old Coliseum or at the Javits Center?
Okay. And I know everybody's showing off their bells and whistles and apps and digital thingaboobs and widgets and whatnot. But the truth is, it's still old school publishing and no one's really willing to take a risk. And I think, or I suspect anyway, that what's happening, we're seeing a shift where, you know, the democracy of the internet and digital culture is such that we can self-publish. And theoretically, self-publishing, I now have the same distribution as anything by, say, Simon and Schuster would have, except we, you know, need to get the word out as well. The problem is, I mean, there's no barrier to entry, but I think self-publishing now is, the gatekeepers are starting to crop up, the people at Amazon, and there are digital imprints that now it's becoming the same sort of thing. Unless you're aligned with an old school publisher, even in the new format, it still doesn't have the gravitas, no matter how good the work.
Well, this is the thing. I mean, anybody nowadays can get published. And it doesn't matter, you could have something seriously mentally wrong with you and you could write gibberish for 800 pages.
And you get more money.
Yes.
You'd probably get a restaurant closed.
You'd become John Grisham. No, but all you have to do is know how to press the send button, and you can get a book made. The question is, how are you going to get the attention so that people know that you have a book out? And that has been my problem for almost 4 months now. I haven't even started a new book. You know, all I've been trying to do is send emails to newspapers, magazines, NPR, who they are terrible. They will not answer an email. I don't even know if they're reading the email. I don't
but
even know
Heritage
if they have
Radio
email.
But Heritage Radio got right
yes.
back to
oh,
you,
yeah.
didn't we?
Oh, yeah. I'm here. And
Star makers, Mike and Judy.
So hardly anybody got back to me. And believe me, my emails, I include my previous reviews. I do everything possible to show them that, you know, I'm not mentally defective, or that I am mentally defective, but in a good way.
Right.
And I would say maybe only 5% of the places that I sent emails to got back to me. Out of those 5%, 2.5%, out of those 5%, 50% said, we're not going to review this book.
Well, I mean, I find that a lot of writers, myself very much included, Mike not included, are really shitty self-promoters. We're like, we're just kind of wimpy that way. Like, that's why we became writers, because we're kind of socially awkward. And saying like, oh, you should read this, it's so great.
I can't do that.
It makes me feel like you probably don't want to read this.
And
it's stupid.
On the print version of the book, I had to write a description, since there's nobody,
right?
There's no publisher. I had to write the description of the book, and then I had to write a brief description of myself. And I debated whether to use the word acclaimed or not, because I don't know if I am acclaimed. And even if I am acclaimed, I just don't feel comfortable saying that. But I went with it.
Good.
Okay.
Well, it's easier to talk about yourself in the third person when no one knows it's actually you.
Well, now everybody knows.
Which is part of the secret to why they...
But now everybody knows that I think that I'm acclaimed.
You are acclaimed. You're on the Mike and Judy show. Okay. We are one percenters, according to Ted's math. Of course, he's in the AARP, so who knows how fuzzy that is.
We'll be there soon enough, my friend.
So tell us a little bit more about West of Babylon, and really what the story is.
I tell you, I'm so caught up in the... in the trying to get the news out there, I have totally fucking forgot what the book is about.
I'll tell you what it's about. It's about a rock band. I like to think of them as like a Quiet Riot. Had some hits. Now they're like, you know, they're in their...
I see them more as a Long Island Marshall Tucker, if that means
anything. They're your people.
Yeah.
You know, okay, they're like a Long Island Marshall Tucker band. They do have, I think they have their original members. There's some drummer
all four
thing.
Of them.
Yeah.
There's always a drummer thing.
Yeah.
Four members?
Yes.
You know, if I had five members, my pants would fit like a glove.
Okay. I think everyone who listens to Mike and Judy has heard this
It's so hard
before.
To segue that gag, though, so I have to take every opportunity.
As soon as
I
heard him say the word member,
So each of them has, like, a very distinct personality. We've got the OCD guy. We've got, like, the best... Okay. So far, I'm not completely finished the book. I love Jules, who gets Botox, tans, wears python pants, is considering going up from a 34-inch waist to a 36, and has like a list
gets
of...
Gets Viagra sent to him from India.
From India, yeah. And has these women in his phone that's like, was it Patchouli Julie toilet
toilet teeth? Yes.
And he just needs to have sex with someone, and he's always doing these.
Even though,
like,
he can barely do it.
Right. Like, he always has to pee. He's the Flomax guy. He's hilarious. And like, OCD guy is also like, has to put towels down in the crappy motels they stay in.
It's, yeah, I thought I made that up, but I found out that Howie Mandel actually does that.
I like that you called him Howie. I noted that. That was very funny.
Is his name Howard? You're right. In the book.
Did you write this book, Ted?
I did. And I'm acclaimed.
Well, the thing that I loved in Pocket Kings, the protagonist's name is, isn't it Franklin W. Dixon?
Frank Dixon, yes.
I was Franklin W. Dixon for one Hardy Boys book.
So that was your name? Now we know. Now it can be told.
You wrote a Hardy Boys book?
Yes, I did.
Was it The Case of the Missing Chums?
It was Shock Jock. It was about a Howard Stern okay. character who got murdered by neo-Nazis.
In Bayport? Are they still in Bayport, or did they move?
I don't know.
We really need to get the rights back so we can do the audiobook version of this.
Yeah. But yeah, they took everything controversial out. I had them teaching their biracial children about Hanukkah and stuff.
The two brothers had a biracial child?
Howard Stern had a biracial. Okay.
Frank Dixon, Hardy Boys, Frank Dixon, Judy McGuire.
But yeah, so it's time for a song.
You want to take a song? You want to take a break?
Sure.
We can do whatever we want. All right. Well, listen, it's Mike and Judy with the acclaimed Ted Heller.
Self-acclaimed.
I'll acclaim him.
I'll acclaim you too, Ted. Yeah,
you are officially acclaimed.
You're acclaimed here. Okay. Number one with a bullet on the Mike and Judy show. Let's go back, way back. This is the Ron Chance Baby. Don't you tear my clothes. See you in a second.
To Ted Heller.
That's her NPR voice.
That's my NPR voice. Acclaimed author. Manhattanite. Father.
This is all things considered. Is that pretty good?
His NPR voice kicks mine.
Yeah, that don't return my call either.
Can I try that one more time?
Yeah.
This is all things considered.
I have trouble with NPR. So much of it's like doing homework listening to it.
Yeah, I know. I listen to it in the morning when I wake up.
Bombarded by their goddamn liberal politics. I say that, and of course, until Terry Grove starts returning my calls.
She won't. Don't worry about it.
I feel like I'm on the verge.
You're on the verge?
I don't know. Some goddamn thing. I always feel like I'm on the verge. I mean, don't you always feel like, you know, really, it takes one person, I feel. You know, you send out 20 million things, but the right person who gets it, who can twirl a review in the right place, can you, maybe
that's
enough.
This is what I understand is, I went on her show once. I obviously was terrible because now they don't even tell me that they don't want me back on the show.
Well, is that half a value?
But how did I ever get on there in the first place?
I don't think that means that you were terrible. I think that means that whoever
she couldn't handle me.
Were you worse than Gene Simmons?
No. I've heard about that.
Yeah, that was a bad one. But yeah, I mean, it is so hard. Like when my first book came out, I had a friend at People Magazine who's a photo editor who went to the books people and was like, please put this in the magazine. And they put it in the Valentine's Roundup. And like my sales on Amazon that week spiked.
Yeah, this is the thing. When I did the Terry Gross show, which I don't know if it's called. It's called
Fresh Air.
All Fresh Air Considered Gross or whatever it is.
Fresh Mare.
It was recorded. Fresh. So I could actually, even though I didn't listen to myself, I could actually go on Amazon when I knew that it was being aired. And it was like watching your EKG having a heart attack.
Right.
Because, you know, I'm down there, you know. And all of a sudden, I'm on the air, and the thing—it looks like a topographical map of the Alps. Because all of a sudden, I'm going through the ceiling.
I mean, how do you like that? Is
the algorithm of Amazon numbers is still a mystery? It's like,
and also like the psychosis it induces in authors. Like, there's now a thing where you can look and see how many copies sold in which states. I mean, it's.
I don't look at that stuff. I mean, I, like every other author, you know, there's a moment when I start to obsess on the Amazon number. I'm like, ooh, it's 5 digits. Oh, it's 4 digits. You know, now it's the low 4 digits. I've never cracked 3 digits. Okay. I think
during Fresh Air, like during that, you know, 20 minutes, I might have gotten into double digits.
But what does it really mean? Because 2 books sold could push that number like crazy because it's within such a short period of time.
I'll take
the
2 books.
And
you know, 2 books. Hey, man, I'll go door to fucking door if I have to sell books. I mean, you talk about self-promotion, you know I'll do pretty much anything to put a book into someone's hands who's going to read it and enjoy it.
I do believe in my books. I keep hoping that will like rub off on me. So far, no.
But your books are great. You're such a good writer, and everybody who reads your stuff likes it, and it's just a matter of getting it in their hands. That's the big problem.
Have you tried contacting All Things Considered?
No. I'm not worthy. No, my book isn't, my last book isn't NPR.
Oh, I think it is. I think they should. Judy's last book, the official book of sex, drugs, and rock and roll list, should have just gotten rid of NPR and created a radio station based on your book.
I don't know. Maybe they had me on, and maybe I was the last person they would ever have on who was just a little bit weird. And
like a little
now you're paying for my sins.
I'll blame you, Ted
Okay,
Miller.
Sure. Blame me.
Did you really pay your wife with a $50 Gap card to...
All right, I'm going to tell the truth about this.
To what? Finish that sentence.
To be my wife?
To design his book cover.
That is the... It is true, and there is another story to it.
Did you have a discount with an AARP card?
And that is, she lost the card.
Oh, that's
so
such a pain in the ass.
I had to actually
replace.
Get her another one. So it turned out to be a $100 gift card, even though it was only for $50.
Those are some expensive khakis.
Yes, that's an expensive wife.
But
she did a great job.
She did a great job. Yes. The cover is very cool. Is she a designer?
She's a graphic designer.
Oh, that's handy.
Yeah. Why do you think I married her?
Really? You guys could just start your own.
Because I knew 8 years ago that nobody else would publish me, and I would need someone in my living room who could design the book.
She probably designed your business cards, too.
That's a good idea.
Yeah, see? I worked for a graphic designer. I got all sorts of stuff out of
how to get more fans here on the Mike and Judy Show. I'll tell you what people keep telling me, or especially, it sounds so old now, but 2 years ago, you have to be on Twitter, social media, right? Because this was going to be the panacea for everything.
Right.
Because, I've said elsewhere, yes, we're all good in the future. We'll all be famous for 15 minutes. What they didn't realize, what Andy didn't realize when he said that was, we're all going to be famous for the same 15 minutes, and it wouldn't make a difference.
And it had to be 139 characters.
But Facebook introduced us to Ted.
I love Facebook. It's like a big cocktail party. Facebook. I've met lots of wonderful people on Facebook. Uh-huh. It's great and wonderful, like minded, thoughtful people. I've been hipped to all sorts of
you
music
can actually
and books
engage
and
in dialogue on Facebook.
Absolutely.
Twitter is
it's a little masturbatory.
I was going to say that, but
Facebook is like making love.
Oh, gross.
Yeah, with 500 people.
I like Twitter. I find out news stories. I use it well.
I like to read the Twitter feed for certain things, and I do get a blast live tweeting certain things. Now, you have massive Twitter followers. What's your Twitter handle?
Oh, bad advice. No, sorry. Hit or miss Judy.
You don't even know.
I don't even know.
Hit or miss
That's
Judy.
My Instagram name.
Do you follow yourself on Twitter? Or
the ultimate.
Hit or miss Judy after the Reckless Eric song that's so mean about a girl named Judy. I love that.
And how many millions of followers do you have?
I don't know. Over 1,000, but not.
That's
like,
10 times as many as I do.
I 800 followers. It's like, who the fuck cares? And I mean, God bless them. I love all 800 people. A lot of them are wrestling fans because our buddy CM Punk put me over.
Your foxy buddy.
Right, which was nice. I'm friends with the former World Wrestling Entertainment champ, who, by the way, is my friend because of the great Natalie Slater, who we'll have back on the show, someone I met on Facebook. Who's a rising star herself. I mean, this is great. It's great connections I've made. He put me over on a Friday, Freaky Friday, whatever they call that thing on Twitter, and I got hundreds of fans that day, but they're all, wrestling fans and aren't interested in the other parts of my work, except when I'm bleeding about, how much Monday Night Raw sucks, in which case I'm like, the king of the ring. But otherwise, hasn't done much for my career.
Right.
So I was reading the James Wolcott piece about Pocket Kings, and I've heard that Pocket Kings is up for an award.
It is up. Who told you that?
An acclaimed author.
That guy who can't stop talking about himself?
That's what you're here for.
It is a semi-finalist for, and I think it's like the James Thurber Humor Writing
James
Award.
Thurber, he was acclaimed.
Huh? Yeah.
So was James Wolcott.
That's true.
See, so you're in good company, buddy.
So, but I have this thing where I don't want to know who I'm up against. I don't want to know when the award is announced because I know that I just will start obsessing over it. And so.
Well, I mean, I would vote for you.
Okay.
If I was allowed to
vote. Do you
have
a vote?
No, I don't.
Okay.
But
I vote.
All right.
I don't know how those
But this is the thing. That would be great to win because when I send my next book out, it says, hey, and I'm a previous winner of the Thurber Humor Writing Award, and that will just make the rejection hurt even more because now I'm being rejected with this award.
I'm betting you could get a blurb from Hit or Miss Judy.
I gave him blurbs. I posted the book, the Amazon link and stuff.
You have.
You know, I do my part for other writers.
You're very supportive, and I think, you know, I mean, the Mike and Judy show, we always try to be, because it is so hard. We do know so many writers, and so many of us and our colleagues wonder, you know, why are we doing it again? You know, I mean, the definition of insanity being what it is, and just the frustration of, you know, it takes a year to write a book, you know, I mean, or more, I mean, yeah, you know, ish. It's a lot of work for very little recompense.
Well, I mean, what I'm finding out now is that the writing of the book, and I think I said this in the Salon article, and I'm sorry if I'm repeating.
You're allowed to quote yourself.
Okay, because I'm acclaimed. Is that the writing of the book now seems the easy part.
It's totally the easy part.
Couple of weeks that are killing me.
Oh, it's like,
you know,
ripping your skin off.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
well, it's like making a baby fun.
I don't know about that. like the last, I started about 4 months ago, you know, going online, finding, okay, who's the book editor at this newspaper? And a lot of newspapers don't even review books. Yeah. And a lot of newspapers don't even exist
anymore. The book editor at this newspaper? Okay, Mr. AARP. Okay, yeah, exactly. Welcome to 2013.
What's a newspaper?
Because they've all been fucking jettisoned.
Yeah. For the newspapers that even still exist. And so then I have to find out the email address of this book's editor. And then I have to compose the email and I have to tweak it so that the person at the New Orleans Times-Picayune, you know, I mentioned New Orleans in that letter. I can't send the same letter to him as to the Bozeman, Montana Record.
Well, that's fine. You're applying for a job. You need to craft a cover letter.
But you also mentioned in, I think it was in the Salon piece, about how you were on something or you were in something and you contacted your old publicist just to get the email address and they wouldn't give it to you. That is so shitty.
Well, she is a nice person.
She's okay. I hate her.
Well, you know what? Because access is the coin of the realm.
Yeah.
And that's really unfortunate that people will lord over you with a fucking email address.
One crappy
I just want to go
email.
Back to that story. I believe I did only one radio interview for Pocket Kings, and it was with Bob Edwards, who used to be on NPR, and you know, my publicist got me that interview. Mm-hmm. So I thought, well, maybe Bob Edwards, you know, maybe he forgot about how the interview went, and so he would have me back on. So I wrote to the publicist, and I said, can you, you know, possibly give me the email address to the producer of the show? And she said, I can't do that. So, you know, with the internet and Google, you know, it took me 2 hours. I found the address, and then I sent the email, and, you know, less than 24 hours later, I got the reply, no, we're not going to have you back on. But
I'm sure they didn't say it that meanly.
Hold on. That was actually a fantastic moment because they got back to me. You know, at least they told me that they weren't going to have me back on.
Dad, I think you're setting the bar a little low.
I am.
But it's so much like dating. Like, maybe he didn't get my call. Maybe, like, I dialed the wrong number and left, you know, got one letter wrong and it just went into a spam filter or someone else. Like,
yeah, it's a fucking tough world out there.
Yes, it is.
So, last question for you, though.
Sure.
Do you like writing?
I can't stand it. No, I do like it a lot.
Do you like writing, Judy?
I do.
Do you like the actual art of sitting down and doing the work?
It depends on what I'm writing. Grape jelly copy, maybe not. But like fun stuff where I can make myself laugh, I love that.
I'll tell you right now, I'd love to write some grape jelly copy.
Well, I just keep going cha-ching, cha-ching, cha-ching.
And, you know, we're almost out of time, and it's June, which means it's almost July, which means soon I'm going to get paid for the story I wrote for Interview 6 months ago.
You get paid?
Well, he hasn't gotten paid yet. I wouldn't be cashing that check, my friend.
Yeah, don't go out and buy a Jaguar.
Yeah, but that's you know, just the object lesson of the respect that writers get. And someone called me to write a story and said, yeah, but we pay 6 months of our terms. Except it wasn't even 6 months from when I handed it in. It was 6 months from publication, which was 2 months after I handed it in. So 8 months to get a check, which is only going to be about $500 for the story I wrote. But, you know, $500, you know.
I know, but you've already spent it.
That buys a lot of pizza at Roberta's.
It sure does.
If I were in the position where I would have to buy my pizza at Roberta's.
So, Ted Heller, before you enjoy the last bite of that delicious pizza, where can our listeners find you?
Nowhere. But if you're really desperate, you can find West of Babylon on Amazon. That's Amazon.com, in case nobody's ever heard of it before.
And you are a tweeter.
Don't go to my tweets are terrible.
But seriously, everybody should be your Facebook friend.
I don't know if I want to extend the invitation.
And join the
Ted
party.
A privilege.
Do you have a page for the book? Have you done anything like that? Like separate the fan page from your personal page?
We need to give him Jesse Cannon's book, too.
A fan page? What? A book page?
Okay, it's been the Mike and Judy Show.
Huh?
Happy June. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for listening to this program on HeritageRadioNetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website, or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola Awali, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.